before we begin, please help me. I'm going to need a report by the end of the day on all of
Thank you for the pause. That was Lorena checking in.
All right, I want to request of you that you ones have something to tell me by late afternoon regarding Otto and upfront funds. We're going to start pushing on those strings pretty hard now. I would appreciate it if you would check with John, Gary Moody. Let's see if we can find out something. You ones are going to have to take some initiative. Clear it with me first, mentally. You don't have to have a meeting. You'll know whether it feels right or not. We're going to have to begin to back ones up against something solid so that they make a commitment and get it into printed form. You now have what you need to really put together a superb proposal in very short order. You've got it written down. Change the names and places, and let's get those domes off. You can get those funded in six different places because you're going to have six different domes. So don't worry about slop over this time. We're moving forward very, very rapidly. And you ones are going to just have to hang on by your fingernails to keep up. I have given an in-depth discussion about a mothership for the purposes of Wally Gentleman. Did we read Wally Gentleman's letter onto a tape at all for discussion overly?
I don't recall doing so.
It will be on the round table. I would appreciate if someone would get it. I particularly want to start where he will tell you something about vision, perception, and then he will tell you something about what he is perceiving very, very bullishly, continues to nag at him. Just rapidly.
Be a type letter. Okay. This is it.
I presume you wanted me to start reading.
Someone, please start reading. We'll be here all day. Pardon any abruptness. We're very, very fatigued.
No, start at number two. It has been said that the soul knows nothing but to be reborn again. Since in our physical form we are said to perceive an illusory world, then we can assume that the images we see are projected from our eyes. We have ascertained that we hear because our ears send out a reference signal. External interference with this reference signal allows us to locate the source of the sound as it impinges on our reference beam frequency. All of this leads us to conclude that our brain is more of a receiving mechanism than an originating one. It may be true that our brain governs our motor mechanisms, but our conceptual thought forms seem to require outside activation. If this is true, then does the soul too pass under the control of an outside activation and know only an instinctive response to be reborn again? This being so, how can the basic us, if it exists, burst through the barrier of life and soul and break out of the recurring theme of perpetual death?
All right. Hold up. I responded to him because in this manner, simply because if it is not enough, I will respond later to the soul and the impression that one has of death. I believe that we covered it in our discussion probably on Friday. I would like Oberle now for you to take the writings regarding eyesight or sensor perception. Put it onto this tape. I want all of you to hear it in your quietness. It must be somewhat clear. You are receiving a fax, I believe.
It's
We'll check the... I'll have to find that writing.
It was running around here this morning with the things.
All right.
Put it on pause.
Go to pause. I am returned.
Just begin to read it out, please. I would like for all of you to hear it, see if you perceive it, at least adequately for a response to Wally.
Okay, this is 2:45 p.m. Hatton returned in light. Dorma, we will not work much longer this day, but I would like to cover a bit more of Wally's letter. In response to perceptions regarding the brain receiving versus originating, etc., it is less and more than your perception. I think I will have answered most of your other inquiries regarding evolvement, etc., in the tape of yesterday. In perception, let us say of reality, the eyes and ears, all of the senses, accept input from just receiving whatever is manifested before them. A bounce back of waves carrying data. He uses arrows here. I'm going to use two toward. A bounce back of waves carrying data to the sensors, to sorted according to the type of sensor, to unchanged data to the computer beam, the brain, computer brain, to computer processes data, to registered information sorted, output pulled up on the screen, further information requested, more processing according to data requested, back with information to screen, etc. Now let us consider what I perceive your real question is. Not the brain, but rather consciousness, receives and projects all phases, let us say, 1, consciousness, 2, subconsciousness, 3, superconsciousness, come into play for services according to requirements. I.e., the sensors, I, registers, processes, and presents, always to the subconscious, to be registered forever on through to the superconscious, always. It is then processed according to request and, let us say, is important, so it is brought to the attention of conscious. Thoughts originating in the subconscious, direct functions and emotions which in turn register in the conscious, thought or action, or may never register on the conscious level, but simply cause action, a response. Now, most important but rarely recognized, one requests perception. This comes from the higher consciousness and can be registered on the backside of the sensor receiving and actually projected outward so that the sensor thinks it has received the image. The thought is literally portrayed in panorama on the screen of the third eye in 4 dimensions. Carried further, the thought can then be projected into holographic form whereby the receivers and brain scanners think they are receiving actual waves from an outside source. At this point, only the individual sees the projections. However, this is manifestation. Carried further, the vision can be described to another or any number of others, so the conclusion that all can actually see the same picture, projection. Held in thought, it can then be carried on to the solid condensation of the waves into form, i.e., transportation of matter. Let us say I need to relocate my craft. I must hold all data inclusively and project to desired location. Hold in concentration until solid form is stabilized. I have other resources, however, that you ones don't realize you too have. Universal computer data banks, whereby I leave nothing at the prior location. Would be terribly embarrassing, for instance, to leave Mr. Spock, Many on your place can dissolve and reassemble matter. However, ones like Nikola Tesla could go further. He could construct in fourth dimension and literally with eye sensors watch function of his creation. You ones will get there, but not for a bit longer. What you are saying or asking of me is yes, you ones will have to project the images in such a way that the viewers receive the impulse of the various light, sound, motion, etc., waves, exactly as your sensors projected them from your higher mental projection. Understand too, Wally, there will be a lot of us with all audiences assisting in tuning of receiver sensors. Almost all fourth dimensional forms can project thought. I must say, however, that most cannot project craft, etc., by thought. In other words, this might be dangerous. Don't try stunt at home. This is why most leaders, such as myself, are etheric in form, for we are extremely advanced in knowledge and concentrated thought discipline. However, I'm not very good at making motion pictures. We each have our gifts and talents. And he stopped there.
Did that make any sense to anyone?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Then we won't.
That was helpful.
We won't.
Makes sense, but it's real complicated.
Well, Wally has a complicated mind. He has to deal with each one of these little fragments. And I'm afraid that it is us that require him to be so picky about it. Whatever comes must come in such a way. You see, there is a perception of having a room where each chair is automatically triggered to move with a given scene. There will be projected probably odors that would go with, let us say, an ozone odor if it goes with electrical shorts, or I'm trying to think of something that would mean something to you. I'm not talking about just perfumes, but if you're going to have bread baking in the Indian oven, it's going to have a whiff of smoke. And whatever kind of wood is being utilized along with the odor of bread or wheat being toasted. If we project our pictures in such a manner that all senses are picked up, the sense, if you will, of a cool breeze, if it's a coolness, or a warm breeze. And because it is very difficult and will be most expensive and impractical to do this, what we first have to do is mesmerize the audience. In a massive way. The chairs can move. We will do that during the flight of the hawk. So it is very important that the mind pick up the visual scene and then begin to process it and reproduce it itself back onto the screen as it moves along, so that you have the mass of your audience reproducing the same thought.
Very good.
And then I would tell you, even without camera equipment, you will have third-dimensional holographs.
That's a big order.
No, it truly is one of the smaller ones I've got for you once. Well, he can do it. We can build it in perception first. It's going to be a physical and mental experience for one's viewing. I don't know how to handle the next one. Go to the perception he has. It will be another couple of paragraphs there.
Versipapu, I seem to be somewhat compelled to draw my own images of key situations.
Now, let me stop this a minute. He truly is not. I wish he wouldn't. But he cannot take the responsibility he has had without it. So he is feeling compelled. And I will explain what it's all about after you read it.
Okay.
I don't want him drawing conclusions, as a matter of fact. I've drawn them. They're onto the paper. So you'll probably see before Oberle even finishes that he's not drawing conclusions and images from the paper that he's reading, that is Sipapu. Go on, please.
Given the time, I shall. At present, I seem to be consumed with a scene where the orators are making their declamations to a large audience. The large audience are suddenly becoming conscious that their amphitheater, from which they view a stage as if it were a movie set, is not what it seems. The audience itself are gradually becoming aware that individually some of them are progressively viewing their own individual auras. Some are disturbed and frightened, but our principals are taking it in their stride in the foreground seats. Some of the less frightened may be even, some of the less frightened may even be disappearing in some form of transition in the knowingness of what is happening. Above the stage, there is a star-filled sky becoming more apparent as the sun goes down and a tracery of the roof of the spaceship begins fading to a solidification of exquisite detail to later arc over and enclose the audience. Before this happens, out of the dark storm clouds to the left, lightning flashes indicate the massing of more distant spaceships. Before the ceiling encloses the audience and a rocking begins, which is not of the earthquake, but the ascent of the mothership enclosing the audience, stage movie set and all. The movie set, its orators and technicians, equipment, cables, and sound system, have at least 7 motion picture rear projection screens, which have been used to illustrate the speaker's invocations, and these unite to form an enormous viewing screen of what is going on immediately outside the space vehicle. The technicians go to their tasks as denizens of the spaceship, to control it aloft. Form and form controls that evolve out of the set decor. Without a progressive storyboard, the illustration must show everything happening at once, and the question to Hatton for his consideration is the detailed accuracy for this event. Shall I continue?
No, hold up. Let me tell you what he is perceiving. He is knowing that we will be there for this thing. He doesn't want his storyboard to give incorrect information. So he's telling me, I'm going to have all these details, you know, for the making of this motion picture. He is also saying, I know you're going to be there, but to deal with these turkeys around me, I've got to have something. And I want it to be accurate, because whatever's on that storyboard, I want to match. Whatever you do when you lift a craft off. That's what he's saying to me. Now the facts are, he's into the next sequel. When you once say, I don't see, I don't understand, just tell me, show me. You're being shown and being told so much that you get it confused. So I will have to go back and remind him that we have again analyzed Sipa Poo so that we might see where this nudge is coming from, because he's ahead of his time, and I have to caution him. That means I'm going to caution all of you. Will walk through this early stage together, because it's very important. You're picking up perceptions because they're out there. Dorma's getting them first because, well, she's just getting them first. And she started to write yesterday morning, and she knew when she got up that she knew the rest of the story. She knows. Not everything in the world to know. A lot of patterns pulled right back down. But she woke up knowing exactly how it is, how it will be, how it will end, and how bad it's going to be in the middle. And I don't want to pull those all out of sequence. And you better be very cautious who you share this particular tape with. I don't care if it goes on the monitor computer system. I told you, Sipa Poo is a true story. Not even really names changed to protect innocent ones. There aren't any guilty ones. Number one, precious Wally. A mothership that we speak of here, with life-sustaining systems, will have to be the one used, because you are looking forward to a time of perhaps 10 years or longer to house, replenish, literally live on what you will call another star planet. It will be a starship. It will be a mothership. These particular craft will be over 100 miles in diameter, as I have described the mothership to be. These are star bases. There is not an area where you can set down a mothership without impacting electromagnetically the field, would blow you away. You cannot come to mother ships that size except through other craft. So that is impractical. The only way that we could have a situation whereby ones are scooped up, if you will, are already placed in a mothership. Well, you can't do that, not for this motion picture. And here's where perception is incorrect. The clouds that gather on day of Seppuku in the illusion, in the fantasy, is the craft. It will completely blanket the area, and it will do so in a cloud formation. Therefore, you could bring a command ship that would be large enough to hold an audience, if you will, a crowd. But still, you're talking something that would house 500 acres. And it would be feasible. I suppose you could slip it in cloud form, fog form, because it is not unusual to have fog come in from the Bakersfield gap, if you will. But this is daylight. There would be no stars. It is important this first one take place figuratively in the afternoon. There will be energies moving up beams, down beams. They will be transported, some in physical form, mostly in etheric visionary form, so it will be easy enough to project onto a screen as a ghost form, if you will. And we do not wish the end of the motion picture changed. And if, in fact, ones were enclosed within a mothercraft, I don't know how you would get your players, the fantasy players, the lead stars, separated, some back into one place in another. I am not going to be tedious. You once have been told, as you visualize and put to paper the screenplay, you will be given the ideas of how to bring it to life so that it is enticing and does not become boring during the lectures. You need action. What Wally is perceiving, I'm sure you're beginning to recognize by now, is how it actually is. This whole area, let us say a little over 100 miles, is encapsulated basically as a mothercraft. When tremendous upheavals come, we will lift this place off. You're not the only one. That's why this village will be isolated. You have to plan on isolation. You cannot tell what you will have with which to deal following some cataclysm. If it's radioactive atmosphere, we've got to get you out. And the fleets will be extremely busy in an effort of evacuation. For all the workers will not be in the given area, but every village, and there are many, will be of necessity, self-sustaining, and must be prepared for a minimum of 144,000 energies in human form. plan your cities for approximately 150,000, you're all right. And we have to plan on food sustenance that could last us for a period of, oh, let us say 6 months to one full year, because we have growing fields. Once aboard stationary, ongoing, living mothercraft, city ships. Remember your pearly white cities with gates of gold. Milk and honey, well, you're going to have beehives and cows. You're going to have to get your own milk and honey. I cannot tell you when this will be. I may not tell you even approximately when this will be. So let us deduce. We're going to have Sipapu. We're going to have some of these other things. Whether Sipapu is filmed in that dome is basically immaterial. It would be filmed in its proper place. That motion picture is destined to come to the public. Obviously, widespread throughout the world, theaters will not be built. There may be one grand and glorious amphitheater somewhere where ones can sit in moving chairs and things like that. But obviously it will not be for Sipapu 1. I cannot tell you how long it will be between Sipapu 1 and Mothership Liftoff. You're going to stay right here in 10, just as long as is required. And possible. Now comes the good news and the bad news. The good news is that there are abundance of motherships. Let us call them star planets, survival planets. The plan is probably for the lifted up ones. You see, the master is supposed to come somehow and lift everybody up, whoever was good, you know, believed on him, he's going to lift them all up into the cloud. Well, what in the world is he going to do with them after he gets them up in the cloud? Man really has such narrow, narrow, impractical little ideas. You're going to have a bunch of humongous mothercraft with people crawling all over each other, needing survival, needing somehow to get from Earth to that mother craft that's stationed hundreds of miles out there, hopefully either just barely within or without your atmosphere, because there's a damn good chance your atmosphere will ignite. At the very least, it's going to be very toxic. And with any kind of explosions, you're going to have a lot of vibrations, a lot of excessive outside input, not done by us, just bombarding us. So the time element, as you would perceive time, everything must move perfectly. That means that we have some options. We will have myriad of shuttlecraft that can come near enough to Earth in some instances to literally get out and pick up somebody, as are contacts that are being made presently. Coming near enough to the Earth where you're no more than a few hundred feet from the surface. Very short track trip. And the energies within the craft can come and lift aboard That's what happens. Stabilization from the beam brought aboard by energies, or put to the surface and walked aboard. Then comes the next, and that is the beaming through the light beam to the larger craft to be transported to the mother ship. Now we're getting really, really into it. Getting bodies up a light beam is one hell of a job. Much less getting bodies transferred to a mother craft from Earth. And you ones want to play? Let me remember. Just tell me how it is. Come on, Hatton. Let me bring it back. Read it overly. I made you write it down this morning. I want each one of you to go within. I want you to visualize this. She happens to be the first. You've all volunteered, brothers. Remember it. You know it. In fact, all of you are sitting there. Oh, goody, let it be me. It's not a fun game. And I want you to go within, and I want you to experience along with her, because she brought it back. And we've all got a good sense of humor about it, and we have been working at this for months. And it's still very, very, very uncomfortable. We have much work to do before we have accomplished this. Looks good in Star Trek. It can be done, it will be done, but you see the going to and from is just about to wipe away. So please share that with us, Oberly, if all everyone right. is quiet.
This was 6:45 this morning, Monday, November 28th. Good morning, Dorma, Hatton here in light. So be it, you will speak today. Go within with me. He requested memory. Let's share. I was at a gathering of some kind. We had been in lectures, I believe. My body was at sleep. Two brothers came to me and said, "It's time to go to work." I felt a surge of anxiety, I think, as if I knew what would come, but a knowingness that I would have no control, much like going to surgery and put under anesthesia, only with awareness. I was returned to my bed, where you were waiting in the room. EJ was restless and turned over, and I wondered that he noticed nothing. The room was full, it seemed. Aphis was there, but stood away. You and one Antios came closer to speak to me. I said, "You promised to allow me to remember." There was amusement among the group. You said I had experienced enough that it should be all right, and promised to make sure I got everything back, most surely my tongue. Everyone laughed, but somehow it was serious to me. Two brothers stood at my shoulders, I think. There was a hard metal or bony object across my upper back that began to pulsate, radiate. I began to feel panic. You bent over my body and I believe kissed my cheek. Then I don't remember what was over my face. I knew that it somehow would breathe whatever I might need while transitioning. Quite frankly, I thought it was your mouth, as in resuscitation. However, I recall thinking you certainly could use a cert. Then I thought it must be your hand, but I realized you didn't have form, so it couldn't be. Then I just didn't give a flip, whatever it was. I knew I was being reminded to use the instructions. If I lay calm and cooperated, I knew the time would be brief. However, things are going on over which you are helpless to alter, but no breathing is the worst. EJ moved about again, and someone settled him. I got preoccupied with him just lying there easily sleeping while all these things were going on. Then I thought, surely Randall will hear and come and do something. And crazy thoughts. I even thought amusingly, like, yes, he'll turn on the smoke alarm or start the jacuzzi. What inept babies we are. Can we ever get this all done? Then I realized I had just left the group back at the lectures. I turned my attention back to my own helpless plight and marveled at myself that I ever agreed to this game. I realized at some point it was mentally easier not to struggle, that somehow I didn't need to breathe, but I disliked the dank odor of whatever was over my face. I knew I was dissolving somehow, feet first. I felt them go, then hands and arms, etc., until I knew I was completely vaporized, but I had the sensation of form in that my ankles were crossed the first time and I couldn't do anything about it. And EJ moved again, and I wondered if he would know I was gone. He didn't, and I thought it was really rather sneaky, for I felt wonderful, then briefly nothing. Next I was in great light, almost hospital sterile.
Let me tell you, it's hospital sterile.
All of you ones were there, and I resented you doing this so easily, but then I noted you ones had no form. We teased a great deal about it. Next, I began to feel intense, rapid frequency beginning first in my feet, etc., but also somehow lastly in my feet. I knew I was taking form and somehow wanted to experiment. I somehow knew that in simple astral form, things are different. I noted I was in a very organized for possible shock position, but again, couldn't move. Then I noted I separated from the body, evidently, for I was watching. Also, with great but totally detached interest, the body began functioning, moved, etc., and we stood around and discussed how best to counter the panic at withdrawal of air. I knew the first few trips had been terrifying. We poked and prodded the body for quite a while. Someone remarked, overload of oxygen was out would be dangerous. Friction would be a hazard. But ones being handled in mass numbers through transference would be chaos and pretty unmanageable. There needs to be greater or gentler stabilization and something more efficient that would ease ones through the panic period. Control too difficult. Post-memory control not enough, for without one or two brothers for immediate assistance, holding that thing, a body would struggle and cause too much delay in transportation. I don't know what we finally decided to do, but I think I made the trip back to human separately. I watched the body begin to form back in bed and return to inhabited in time to note what was going on, feelings, etc. I was again aware of inability to move any portion of the body, but fully aware, as a scientist would observe, I believe, I was giving a blow-by-blow description. EJ really began to stir, and I actually feared he would rouse and be frightened, but I couldn't do anything. Again, totally helpless. You reached over and calmed him somehow. And we all continue to monitor me. Weird. A total reversal of sensation, as all returned to normal. I was aware as each thing took form, inside outward, just as everything had dissolved inside outward. Finally, very unpleasant buzzing sensation of limbs and digits, beyond tingling. Then tones in head, momentarily unbearable. And always humor. Someone reminded we had really arrived, didn't set off the alarm.
There seemed a very prolonged interval of settling of the various parts, twitching, tingling, and lastly a great tingling and hyperbuzzing of the mouth and the tongue was there. Everybody had great fun with that, including me. I don't know if it was real, i.e. the tongue comes forth last, or Hatton pulled a grand prank. After all, moderated, a long time of monitoring and recording data, I simply left the body lying there and returned to work with the crew. Lastly, and actually, the only instructions I recall was, write it down, it's time. I don't remember what it's time for, but we've a bit further to go, Hatton. That experience is interesting, but not the greatest. Are you sure we need bodies to pull off?